Before we begin, I'd like to welcome you all this morning. You think I'm from Texas. Welcome y'all this morning, right? Welcome, especially if this is your first time or if you're fairly new here. I hope you feel welcomed. Three announcements. First announcement. Yesterday, a funeral for Tammy James was held in Brampton. Over 2 weeks ago, she was tragically killed by her husband, who then took his own life. She was living in Texas at the time. Many of you don't know her, but she did grow up here in the church, her family, from childhood, as a young child, through high school, through college. Her family moved to Brampton about 15 years ago, approximately. She was a lover of Jesus. She was a friend to many and an inspiration to many. How about you just join with me right now to pray? Father, we just lift this family to you. Her mother, Sandra, his sister, Sandy, and her brother-in-law, Simon, and all the other family members, aunts, cousins. Lord, may they find you, the Heavenly Father, as a comfort, as a love in this time of sorrow and tragedy. Lord, we also pray that we would remember them in prayer in the next days and the weeks ahead. Lord, they need you desperately. In the name of Jesus, who loved us, who died for us that we might know eternal life. Amen. Two more announcements. They're in your bulletin, but I'll just mention them. The lunch that we usually have on the first Sunday of the month, we're going to suspend for the next 2 months, beginning of August, beginning of July. Those are long weekends. Sorry, July, August and September. Get my months straight here. And then we will announce again when we will resume. And the last announcement is that next Sunday, we're going to have baptisms at 10 o'clock here, okay? So there'll be no class, but there'll be baptisms instead. And if there's still somebody who wants to be baptized, please see Ian Brinksman, who's at the back. Okay. Let's come to what we are really here for, right? God's Word. I'm going to invite Jeremy up to read the verses that we have that we're using this morning.
So, good morning, everyone. I was told to introduce myself a little before reading today's verses. So, I moved to Toronto about 5 years ago to pursue my graduate studies here at the U of T in biomedical engineering, so currently I'm trying to finish up my PhD. I was born and raised in Quebec City, so I'm Canadian, and actually I'm third generation Canadian, as my parents were also born in Canada, so my family is quite established here. I first came to the church in Toronto through Lighthouse, a campus fellowship group, and I've been here ever since. And it was here that I was fortunate enough to meet my lovely fiance, Anne, who you see in the picture as well. Thank you. We'll be getting married in less than 2 months' time at this point, so we're both very much looking forward to that. Okay, so moving on to the verses. So today's verses are from the book of John, chapter 17. And these verses are kind of spread out throughout the entire chapter, so I'll just read the verses that have been selected. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Amen. Thank you. So, we have been in this series, this anchored series, for at least 26, maybe 27 weeks, believe it or not. You know, it seems whenever we start a series, we think it'll take a certain length, and then it always goes longer. Maybe we're long-winded, I don't know. But anyway, you see the series, we started with God as Trinity, and today we come to the church, the last item. This prayer in John 17 is very interesting because it is the longest prayer of Jesus in the Bible. So it's important. It's very important. And although this chapter does not use the word church, it is actually about the triune God, the Trinity, and the church. Both. When you think of the church, what do you think of? When you talk about the church, how do you describe it? What is the church and what should the church look like? Is the church a place you go to? Or is the church people that you belong to? Let me say that again. Is the church a place you go to? Or is the church the people that you belong to?
It's the people.
I know that. And you know that. So why do we say I'm going to church? Why not say I'm going to be with the church? Food for thought, right? You say, well, everybody else says I'm going to church. A lot of people say things. Okay. We need a starting point today. And the starting point actually is where we started off 27 weeks ago. The Trinity. If we understand the Trinity properly and rightly, then we will understand the church properly and rightly. How we see the Trinity determines how we see the church. You probably never thought of this before, but this chapter, John 17, is strikingly important, and these two things. It shows us both, especially it shows us the Trinity. And once we see the Trinity and our relationship to the Trinity, that determines how we see the church. If you can hang in there with me, we'll try and get through this. Okay, let's go back to the first section of verses in John chapter 17, starting in verse 1. Verse 1 says here, especially the last part of the verse. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. What's going on here with the Trinity? If you recall and were with us when we began this other end of this matter of these anchored on the Trinity, the emphasis that we had was there is this relationship going on with the Trinity of mutuality, of glorying one another. The Father glorifies the Son. The Son glorifies the Father. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. There's this mutual relationship in the Trinity, or even I'm going to use this word, in the community of the Trinity. My goodness. I'm sure somebody had that before. I'm sure I'm not the inventor of that one. And then this verse here, 5, says, the glory that I had with you before the world existed. In eternity past, there was this relationship in the Trinity, glorying one with another. The Son says, I had glory with you before the world existed. What kind of intimate relationship is going on here? Then later in verse 11, if we can see the next slide, 11, there's this prayer. Jesus says, at the end here says, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. The oneness that's talked about here in John 17 is the oneness of the Trinity. What does that oneness look like? That oneness looks like this. Father is glorifying the Son. The Son is glorifying the Father. This dance of love, dance of glory, dance of mutuality and relationship with one another. So we had this quote from way back. Let me just read this. We don't have it on the screen, so you have to listen. Each of the divine persons centers upon the others. None demands that the others revolve around him. Each voluntarily circles the other two, pouring love, delight, and adoration into them. Each person of the Trinity loves, adores, defers to, and rejoices in the others. That creates a dynamic, pulsating dance of joy and love. What's going on in the Trinity? I don't know if you see this. This is, that quote is from Tim Keller. What is he saying? He's saying is this. The Father's eyes, heart, thought, love is all focused, directed to the Son and to the Spirit. And the Son's love, heart, glory, focus is to the Father and the Spirit. And the Spirit's heart, love, joy is all focused on the other two. What a relationship is going on in the Trinity here. I hope we could see this. And that's what's talking about in this chapter 17. So later on in verse 21 in this chapter says, Father, you, Father, are in me. And I am in you. Who's in who? There is this mutuality among them. So the Son says, Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Then he says, oh, and by the way, that they, the believers, may be in us. Wow, what is that? That's the church. The Trinity has this wonderful love relationship, glorying relationship, adoring relationship in himself. But he wants to bring us into that same relationship. And why is that important? Because he says, so that the world may believe that you, Father, have sent me. How does the world believe? How does the world believe that the Father sent the Son? It believes because the church is reflecting the Trinity. God doesn't shout from heaven. God displays himself and the Trinity through the church, who is a reflection, a representation, an enlargement of him. The church, the proper church, reflects the Trinity. That's why we must see the Trinity in this way. How you see the Trinity determines how you see the church. That's why it's important that we see the Trinity. You know, maybe in our past, oh, the triune God, too hard to explain, too complicated. Let's just say, yeah, he's trying. He's three in one, and that's about it, and let's move on from there. And maybe that's how most Christians thought of the Trinity 100 years ago. But many scholars in the last 50 years have been diving into this matter of what is the relationship within the Trinity. And it's the more they got into it, the more they realized this is maybe more important than we thought, because we see everything then based upon how we see the Trinity. How we see the relationship in the Trinity then governs our relationships with one another. If our concept of the Trinity is a hierarchy, then we will consider the church a hierarchy. If we see the Trinity as a mutual relationship, one with another, if we see the Trinity as a mutual relationship, we'll see, well, that's how the church should be. The church is a reflection of the Trinity. The end of Ephesians says, the church is the fullness of the one God who fills all in all. That means we express God. What is God's expression? What does it look like? John 17 shows us this relationship. In John 17, you do not see hierarchy. You see mutuality. You don't see hierarchy in the Trinity, and you don't see hierarchy in the believers. Basically, what is John 17? The prayer is, it's a prayer and it's a calling that we would reflect the Trinity, the Trinitarian relationship, a relationship of mutuality, a relationship of love, a relationship of adoration. We have two quotes here. First quote, from these two guys who wrote a book, God's triune nature means that God is social or relational. When I first read this, I thought, what? Social? You know, we think of, but think beyond your thought about social. Social means relational. Social or relational. God is the social Trinity. God is community. See, I didn't invent that. The community of the Father, Son, and Spirit who enjoy perfect and eternal fellowship. This is the Trinity. God's triune nature means that God is social or relational. God is the social Trinity. God is community. the community of the Father, Son, and Spirit who enjoy perfect and eternal fellowship. Let's go on to the next quote. The mutuality of the Trinity is meant to be a model for human mutuality. This then is the model for Christian communion. A community united by the indwelling Spirit, made possible by the incarnation, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection. The Trinity is meant, the mutuality of the Trinity is meant to be a model for human mutuality. What should be our relationship among one another? It should be a reflection, a copy of the relationship in the Trinity. Yet it's not just a reflection. It is empowered by, motivated by the Trinity. Because Jesus prayed, Father, you are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. So, our experience of the Trinity, if you're following in the outline, I know it's hard to follow me, I'm in Romans 2. Our experience of the relational Trinity leads us to the relational community, the church. How do we know that? We have a few verses. First of all, Matthew 28:19 says that we were baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Our baptism brought us. Baptism is not just an outward testimony. That's not how often it's portrayed in the New Testament. No, baptism is we've been put into the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. There's a joining together us with the Trinity. But there's another verse on baptism that's also important in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Our baptism is not just me and God. Our baptism also is putting us into the community of believers, the body of Christ, which is the church. We are meant for community with the Trinity and with one another. You've heard it said, Genesis, we are made in the image of God. If God is a community, we are meant for community. That's how we're made. By us having this joining together with the Trinity and joining together with one another, we become a testimony. We, as a community of believers, become a testimony to the world. Now, it doesn't mean that we become this isolated group of people, have nothing to do with other people. No, actually, what we should be doing is, as a community, because we have such a community, we should have the same thought that Trinity has, is enlargement. Trinity says, we have this wonderful relationship on ourselves, but let's include humanity in it. In the church, we should have also the same. We have this wonderful community, but we want more to be part of it. So, we're made for community. We are not made to be an island in ourselves, nor with ourselves on an island alone. This brings us to another point, and that is this. Western society. What is Western society? What is its hallmark? Autonomy? Individuality? That's right. And guess what that leads to? Isolationism. Let's face it. Every society without God has got problems. Okay? So I'm not here to bash any society. I'm just to tell you, honestly, every society without God has got problems. Because it's created by man. Is it all bad? Not necessarily. But let's just, since we're in the West, we can handle ourselves, I think, first. Western society is autonomy, individualism. However, the problem with that, it leads to isolationism. And isolation leads to loneliness. And loneliness is one of the biggest problems of our Western society. How many of your neighbors do you know on a first name basis? You think about it. How many of your neighbors do you know on a first name basis? And if you had a problem, would you go to them? This is our Western society. I can take care of myself. Thank you very much. We lock our doors. Some of us lock our doors day and night. Sorry, I don't, so you can come in any time of day if the door is unlocked. But this is what happens. And I've been realizing, personally, I've been realizing the last few months, in order for me to get to know my neighbors, I have to be intentional about it. It's not going to just happen. So, not too long ago, you know, I've seen this neighbor of mine a number of times, talked to him a number of times, and after talking to him, I realized, I still don't even know his name. So the last time I was out walking my dog around the bus, that's one good reason for having a dog. He was out in his front yard, and I started chatting with him, and eventually I said, I'm sorry, but I lied a little bit. I said, I forget your name. Well, it's not a lie, because actually I did hear his name about 3 years ago. I was in a community meeting, and he was speaking, and I did forget. But it's been 3 years, and I've talked to him how many times. It took me, to be intentional. Why? Because this is not our Western society. I still don't know what his wife's name is. So I still have more work to do. Right? That's not the community of the Trinity. And that's not what the community of the church should be. Oh, sorry. One other problem with our Western society. Because of individuality and what are all those words we said? Individuality, autonomy, all this. You know what else happens? What else that produces? Competitiveness. Let me ask you, in the Trinity, is there even a hint of competition? No. In the Trinity, there's not even one hint of competition. Because they are for the other. They glory in the other. They joy in the other. They love the other. They adore the other. Each one adores the other. That's the Trinity. That is the model for the church. In our church community, how much do you adore one another? How much do you defer to? How much do you love? Or is this always a certain self-protection? We need the society of the Trinity. That's what we need. The Apostle Paul, the one who wrote many books of the New Testament, he said in two places, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. Let's go to the next one. Yeah. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We have another verse that says what? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. It's not that difficult to weep with those who weep. But if two of you were looking and applied for the same job, and one got it, the other one who didn't get it, could you rejoice in the other one getting the job that you didn't get? Let's face it, rejoicing with those who rejoice, that's tough. Why? Because I'm for me. I'm not for you. I mean, if I get a better job than you and you get a good job, hey, I rejoice with you. But if you get the better job than I do, what's my reaction? Isn't that nice? Yeah, I'm really glad you got that job. Let's be honest. We need some transformation in our hearts. We need a stronger connection with the Trinity, who is not that, but is for others. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. To me, this morning, I'm sure there's all kinds of burdens being borne in this room by individuals, by themselves. So let me ask you this. Why is it that you feel that you have to bear your burdens all alone? And I think I speak for many in this room this morning. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I'm in the same boat as you. We are reluctant to copy the Trinity and be part of a community of believers. And what do I mean by that? You say, aren't we a community of believers this morning? Yeah, we are. We're about 240 people here. Are we a community? Yes. But it's hard to experience community with 240 people. But you want to experience with 10 people. That's easier. That's doable. Right? That's what we call small groups. You need to join a small group if you're not in one. And if you are in one, I would say this. Let's try to think firstly of what is a relationship in the Trinity? Can we have that same relationship in our small group? We bear one another's burdens. We fulfill the law of Christ. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. Can we have this kind of relationship in our small groups? It takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. But we should struggle for this. Can we be vulnerable in our small group? Can we know that we love one another to the point that we could say, when someone in our group is saying, you know, I think I'm going to go do this, and everybody else in the group realizes that is the worst possible decision for you to make, is there somebody there who could say, brother, we love you, but we don't think that's a good idea? We love you to the point we say, don't jump off the cliff. You'll die. But are we so nice in our Canadian niceness that we would never offend somebody? You know what that means? That means you don't love that other person. That means you love yourself more. Why don't we say something to somebody else? Because we love ourselves more than we love them. We really need more transactions with the Trinity to transform us for church community. We need it. Last week, Ian made this statement, or gave everybody this kind of a charge. Be a contributor, not merely a consumer. Yes, you come here to receive something, but you shouldn't just come here to receive. You should be a contributor. Don't just say, I didn't get anything this morning. Question is, did you give anything this morning? Yes, you're here to give, not just to get. We need to learn how to be givers of ourselves, givers of our finance, givers of our time, givers of our heart. Be a contributor. There's so many areas in the church that need care. I was telling our small group last night about one experience I had in another church of how I was greeted as I drove in the parking lot. I remember it, and that happened about 5 years ago. I don't remember what was said. I remember the experience. That experience remains with me. Because that person who greeted me, he wasn't just swinging his arms and go there, go that, you know. He welcomed me. That was my first impression at that church. And it was a striking impression. We need people to serve in that way. All kinds of ways. Serve. Bear responsibility. This church, we do have to, you know, having a building is helpful, right? We have a place to gather, and we can use it actually anytime we want. I mean, it's, and more or less, I mean, it's here. But the building takes upkeep, the building takes maintenance, lots of things. Sometimes the building has problems like we have right now. You didn't know it, but we got a problem with some unwanted guests. They're called masked bandits, also known as raccoons. We have to deal with it. I know, it's got problems. But anyway, what is my point? My point is, for this church to operate, we need people who give themselves, who serve, who contribute, right? We do need. And eventually, because we are to have property, we have to be a corporation. We are a corporation. And a corporation has to have, follow the government rules, right? We have to have members who can vote. We should learn how to bear responsibility in this way. You know, You want to become a Canadian citizen and enjoy all the benefits of being a Canadian citizen? It's wonderful, yes. You know, for me, wasn't at work. I was born here, no problem. But every privilege comes with responsibility. As a Canadian citizen, especially once you vote, you can be called for jury duty. What is that? If you call for jury duty, the judge is going to tell you right off the bat, as a Canadian citizen, you have a responsibility. And since your name was picked, you have a responsibility to serve and take care of this community of people. So, you've been selected for jury duty. That happened to me twice. I've had to serve on jury twice. Is it fun? It doesn't matter if it's fun or not. It's a responsibility. Forget about fun. Forget about inconvenience. No, it's responsibility. Don't shirk your responsibility. Am I too hard on everybody this morning? Okay. I hope not. I'll try and do it with more of a smile. I'd like to end with a quote. Do we have that quote? Ah, good. This was the end. So this kind of quote ties together what Ian shared last week and what I'm sharing this week. Okay, so this kind of covers both weeks. Let's read this together. I see a church where people give more than they receive, where people serve more than they've been served, where people love more than they've been loved. A church passionate about reaching the next generation. How about that? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and gave his life as a ransom for many. That's Christ. He's the pattern. All kinds of things. Remember, if you read John, the Lord washed the disciples' feet. And then he says, you see what I'm doing? You do the same thing. I wash your feet. If I, the Lord, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, shouldn't you wash each other's feet, one another's feet? Take care of others. Serve others. Do the nasty things. Washing feet in that day was nasty, okay? Serving others. Loving others, caring for others. When it comes to this matter of small groups, we're going to be talking more about this as the weeks go on, because we feel it's important. It's really important for us if we are going to become real disciples of Christ, if we're going to grow in our Christian faith. We need a community of believers small enough that we can have interactions and bear one another's burden, care for one another, support one another, and be a proper reflection of the Trinity. That's what we're made for. That's what gives us the real, proper satisfaction, because that's how we were made in God's image. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you as the Trinity. Grant us more sight of this relationship within the Father, Son, and Spirit. Grant us a deeper appreciation so that we as believers could realize we've been called to join together with the Trinity and with one another to be such a reflection. The oneness that you've experienced within you, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, is to be the same kind of oneness that we enjoy among one another and with you. So, Lord, keep speaking to us this week. Keep speaking to us, longing for more community among one another and with you. We don't want to be lonely. We want to really be members one of another. Be with all the saints here, everyone here, as they go forward this week on their jobs, in every situation they're in. Supply everyone. We ask this in your dear name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We are dismissed.